Okay, City Council meeting Tuesday, March 12th, 2019 is called order. And in case you've been on by Pastor Fred Franks from the Island Church, followed by a pledge of allegiance.
Bow our heads, hearts, and a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings of life. And thank you for this opportunity before us, for our City Council and our mayor. Thank you for all the people who work hard to make Orange Beach a beautiful place and a safe place. I pray for wisdom for the decisions that will be made. And Lord, we continue to lift up our neighbors in Lee County and ask for your comfort and your help in their time of need. We are always careful to give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We pray all these things tonight in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please, ma'am.
Councilmember Sullivan?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Costa?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Penn?
Here. Should I tell the governor's office I'll call him back? Call the other way, I'll have to go tell him.
There you go.
Tell me what our percentage of that gas tank.
I have a presentation. Angela, could you get the silence, please?
I'm sorry. The governor wanted my advice on the boat ramp.
It was a short conversation.
Didn't work.
Good evening, Cyrus. Thank you for coming in. On behalf of the City of Orange Beach and specifically our council there, we want to thank you for all you do for Orange Beach and commemorate the celebration of your birthday tomorrow.
82! Yahoo!
March, getting it.
That's up to the principal's
yep.
Office.
Yep.
Go over here and smoke, Cyrus.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
That'll be later, Cyrus.
What a beautiful picture. Happy birthday.
And everybody, for her birthday tomorrow, please step aside out front and buy a ticket for Miss Cyrus to sell them for the duck race for the Lions Club.
$25 for a six quack.
Cheap birthday for
her. Miss Cyrus, I bought one on Saturday. At the festival.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Cyrus. Okay, do we follow up?
Yes.
Yes, we do. Introduction, a motion, considering tonight's agenda.
Move to approve the agenda with one additional item, a resolution authorizing an amended development agreement related to the wharf.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Considering the previous minutes from our regular council meeting committee hold 2519, but no objections or reading the minutes we waive. Any corrections to the minute? No corrections. Minutes stand approved as written. Any announcements by our council?
Mayor, I'd just like to put out about 3,000 attaboys and attagirls and all that. But the Festival of Art was a huge success this past weekend. But it's kind of like three in a row. I mean, we've had the Orange Beach Seafood Festival, which was an outstanding success. And then we had Mardi Gras, and now we've had the Festival of Art. And I appreciate Desiree and all of her team and all of the volunteers, friends of the arts, all who made that work this weekend. It was a grand event. But a key component in all three of those was Chris Litton and his team from the city.
Amen.
And the sound was perfect in every one of those, and all the logistics. And so, Chris, I just want to say 1,000 attaboys for you and your team, because y'all did a phenomenal job. And thanks for the hard work.
Thank you.
We need to add to this. Without every one of you, it wouldn't have been that way. The attitude of all the employees was excellent. I was all over. Some of them worked so hard. But you helped to bring this about. And thank you.
Great council.
I'd like to say on a note to Chris's team. Matt, will you stand up for a second? Matt got notice this week that he is cancer free, and I just want to tell you. Definitely just worked and persevered, and you're a hero and a mentor, and I'm just grateful, and we're grateful for you.
Absolutely.
Thanks for being our team.
And I'd like to add to that, throughout his treatments, Matt never slowed down, he never got a bad attitude, and quite honestly, he inspired me. Through his whole process, it blew my mind. Way to go, Matt. Thank you.
Congratulations, buddy.
Yes, absolutely.
I got to start hanging more with you, Matt. I'm telling you, I was pretty darn blown away. Just always a smile.
Absolutely.
Amazed to me. Thank you.
I would add to that same thing around the same timing that Matt would probably say the same for Kenny Martin at the front desk.
Yes.
Around the same parallel cycle and. I don't know if she's gotten her official clearance, but she's close. So they were in the exact same cycle, and in fact, sat in the chemo room together quite a bit. So really a good situation to see our employees get good health care and come through, and now they're back to being what they do. So.
I'm glad you brought that up, because Candy's been facing the city a lot of times.
Absolutely.
I do want to say something briefly there. When I started here about 4 years ago, and it was right about the time there was a lot of stuff going on about insurance and what we were going to do. I didn't really have a dog in the fight then. I wasn't full-time. I was just temporary. But as time went on, I saw all the struggles that was going on, trying to figure out finance, this council, the finance committee, everybody coming together trying to figure out what to do for insurance for the employees. And what you guys did, I appreciate it. It was a blessing during this whole thing. It absolutely was a blessing. I appreciate everything that y'all did, that the work y'all put into it to get the insurance for the employees.
Good.
And also, I want to thank Public Works for all the work they did during these events, too, because I've never seen guys, they move, they hustle, they get things done. I just want to say I appreciate those guys, too.
Amen. Amen on that. I omitted Public Works. That's what great work they did.
Anybody else? All right. Auditing of accounts.
Move to certify the cash requirements with no related interest set within the budget and acceptable for payment.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest in Swift Supply are within the budget and acceptable for payment.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Okay, moving to unfinished business on the resolution. The resolution authorizes the execution of the task order with Sawgrass Consulting, Construction Management Services, Arch Center Shoreline Stabilization Boardwalk Project, and receive $10,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution awarding the bid for the Arch Center Shoreline Stabilization Boardwalk to MD Thomas Construction. Not to exceed $64,727.
Move the adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain.
Moving ordinance as a second reading. Ordinance amending Chapter 18, the Code of Ordinance of the City of Orange Beach, entitled Courts, to add new Article 3, entitled Pre-Trial Diversion Program.
Move to adopt the resolution. Excuse me. Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Moving to new business and the resolution. The resolution authorizing execution of professional service agreement with Paul Henning, Medical Director Services.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the purchase of the backhoe utilities department through the National Joint Purchasing Alliance, $109,008.16.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Go back to say. Jason and Mike, thank y'all for working out that relationship with South Alabama Medical Center. That's a big deal. So thank y'all.
Yes.
Resolution authorizing the execution of a task order with Sawgrass to provide professional services, design services, force main connection, road crossing, and our road forward to the Beach Express intersection, not to exceed $10,000.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the mayor to execute an implementation agreement, Alabama Department of Conservation, Department of Natural Resources, Coastal Alabama, Sea Turtle Triage Restoration Project.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution awarding a bid for two UTVs for the fire department to Halls, Mooresburg, Eastern Shore in the amount of $23,497.98.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? This is an addition. Resolution authorizing the execution of a third amended and restated development agreement related to the wharf.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this resolution.
Okay. Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
No.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kenney?
No. Public hearings?
Yes,
we will hear that again next week.
Yeah.
And I think there was others that expressed concern, so we got a little turnaround on that one. So.
I did, and I found some time to read through the majority of it after I had responded that I probably needed to wait, but I didn't get caught up.
I think it's
picking one.
I think it's the problem.
I think it's
one more week.
Okay, public hearings. Public hearing for an ordinance amending the ordinance number 172, Broken Sound PUD. You ready?
I'm ready.
As everyone knows, we'll have a presentation. Then we will, from Griffin, and then council ask questions. We'll open up the floor for public comment, and then we'll close with further discussion. Thank you, buddy.
Yes, so this is the case for a preliminary PUD approval. This is a Broken Sound Plan Unit Development. It's located in the northeast corner of Louder Lane and Pelican Place. Presently, the property is on RM2, and this is a request to rezone 7.5 acres from RM2 to PUD for residential development containing 40 single-family residential lots. The Planning Commission considered this at their January meeting and gave it a favorable recommendation. We go to the... I think that's the end of the... All right, so we go to the next slide. This is the proposed project. Again, it's a 40-lot single-family residential subdivision at the northeast corner of Louder and Pelican. Next slide. When we look at the residential lots, again, we're looking at a total of 40. The average lot size is a little bit 3,700 square feet, average lot width 46. Setbacks, front setback of 18 feet, rear setback 8 feet, and side setbacks of 5 feet. The right-of-way width is proposed at 40 feet, roadway width 24 feet, and the sidewalks are 5 feet in width, and they are located on the lots, not in the right-of-way. If we go to the next slide. The residential dwellings, they have three types that they are proposing or they submitted with their plans. You're looking at two-story structures, 3 to 4 bedrooms. They'll have 4 parking spaces located in front of each house. And these parking spaces will be paved and everything. If we go to our next slide. Just some more on the project information. The current zoning is RM2, and in that zoning district, you can do multifamily residential, either a condominium or apartment. This development will have open space, about 2.13 acres, have a lake, walking trail, and gazebo. The subdivision will have 20 overflow parking spaces located throughout. There will be a 10-foot landscape strip along Louder Lane and Pelican Place. Again, the roadway is going to be 24 feet in width. Sidewalks 5 feet, and they'll be located on the dwellings. Staff, during the review, we recommended that that sidewalk connect to the existing sidewalk on the west side of Louder Lane for pedestrian connectivity. And this is actually going to be lot 5 of the Louder Pelican subdivision, and Planning Commission did approve that subdivision, just subdivided a 33-acre parcel into, I think, about 7 lots. We go to our next slide. As with any planning development, we look at how it compares with zoning ordinance and subdivision regulations. You look at lot size, lot width, and the setbacks, that's less than what would normally be required for an RS zone subdivision. Subdivision regulations, the right-of-way width is proposed at 40 feet as compared to 60 feet that would be required under standard subdivision. And then sidewalk location usually extends the right-of-way, but this is actually going to be in front of the houses and it's on the lot. Next slide. This is the existing zoning and an aerial map. If we go to our next, this is another aerial view. The arrow is showing the project location. Next slide. Again, this is just another look at the proposed master plan. And next slide. This is the Louder Pelican subdivision. This was the 33 acres that's going to be subdivided. The arrow indicates lot 5 is where this project will be located. Next slide. And these were staff conditions that were placed on the application. Again, this is for preliminary approval. They'll have to come back and do final approval. On that 33 acres, it's right at the southeast corner of the intersection of Louder Lane and Canal Road, and there were talks about some improvements to the intersection of Louder and Canal, and this project will dedicate a portion of the their property at that intersection to make improvements to that intersection. I think Kip,
I can speak to that.
Talk a little more detail on it.
Do you have the drawings on what they're giving up?
I think it's
which one? On which slide?
Agenda.
Do we have a pointer?
Oh, it's on the agenda? Yes. You got one there?
Yeah, here we go.
Will you go back to the subdivision slide? The flat slide?
That one or?
The flat. That shows the wetlands. It's black and white. There. Okay. Up here.
Ken Alexander, Community Development. During the Plan Unit Development public hearing in Planning Commission, one of the main concerns about this development was the difficulty of the neighborhood getting out onto Canal Road on Louder Lane. So the mayor contacted me and told me that he wanted to get going immediately on doing the same thing we did on Cotton Bayou and Terry Cove, currently what we're doing now, and to construct a turn lane that allows, when you've got people queued up here going left, this allows people to bypass those queued up vehicles and to take a right on Canal Lane.
Is that the improvement slide?
Canal Road.
The improvement?
Yeah, there should be a slide.
I think I've got that right here.
I also met with Jason Shaw, who is a region engineer.
Is that it?
Yes, it's right. You can see this is what we are requesting, and I would request that your PUD approval be contingent upon them providing this right-of-way. But I met with Jason Shaw, who is a region engineer who handles access, and confirmed that they needed to get going if they hadn't already, and that the city was behind the request for the warrant to look at having a signal placed here that was in communication with the signal at Gulf Bay Road. The two would speak together and work together in sync. And he and DOT is currently doing a warrant analysis for that signal, and that was a request from the mayor's office. So, but I would like for the PUD approval to be contingent upon them providing that right away. I do have a representative here. It is not the representative that I spoke to that agreed to providing this right away, but I believe that that you've been notified, that, and I think that they are in support of providing it. But it's essential. This turn lane is about 200 feet long, so that's, and we need that additional right away.
Thank you, Kit.
There were a lot of factors in discussion with this project, and it and we thought about taking the Gulf Bay Road light and moving it and trying to create some type of service road movement, but because of the alignment of Easy Street and Louder Lane being offset, it was almost impossible to make that work with a light. So, in talking with the state, we got to have a light there. There's no doubt. I think we all know that.
Yes.
In talking with the state, they felt comfortable that they could control or sequence Gulf Bay and this light because they're close enough not to impede our traffic flow, which is always our concern. So, obviously, any traffic light has to be warranted and has to be a number. One of the positives of this project being on the books is it accelerates the ability to get the traffic light there, which in talking with the Louder Place residents, that made them feel a whole lot better about it. The question about the small setbacks, I think it goes back to a pragmatic look at the property, what it's zoned, what could be there, what it takes to make residential work. They're going to have to have X number of units to financially make that work, and it's going to have to be closed. The other option is apartments or townhomes. And I think, in my opinion, even though these are extremely small setbacks, we all have our problems with that, the alternative project of apartment or the more townhomes, to me, was the lesser, was a greater evil. And I'm not saying this is evil, don't take me wrong, but you get my point. So if we won't continue residential home building and no more, we've got enough apartments in my humble opinion. So.
Well, I like the project. Yeah. I mean, the houses look good. I mean, they got three different varieties, so it's not going to be a cookie cutter type thing. I applaud Trulin because now they seem like they've got the parking kind of what we're wanting. And all the notes and all the comments I have read through the Planning Commission from Lauder was strictly that they need a light there. You know, that they're just concerned about getting out safely. So if we can figure that out, I think it'll add value to that whole area.
We can thank Ms. Annette too, because she asked them to bring us more than three frontal facades, and they're going to bring a bunch. How many we decided on? Six or eight?
Well, I asked for five.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what we totally ended up with.
I don't think that's a problem. That's not a problem. Okay.
And that's the greatest fear, is that we have all of these identical neighborhoods throughout the city. So this will give it a totally different look. A lot of places, a very special neighborhood. And the Planning Commission, did not want to lose the feel of that and the family-friendly attitude. I believe we are restricting rentals to 6 months or more, and that will eliminate any vacation rentals in that area. And that was a big concern.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you.
And that also needs to be a condition. It needs to be a stated condition of the PUD.
Yes.
Absolutely. Please.
Absolutely.
Landscaping will be wonderful. The look and feel of it, yes, they will be close to each other, and no one would like to have normal setbacks greater than us. But in truth, this is what is affordable, and with the new school, we're hoping that this is filled up with families very soon.
So after the conversation from planning and as we approach this, what do we do moving forward
for every single one of them, because everything that's coming to us is going to be exactly the same thing. They're going to want 5-foot setbacks. Do we keep approving it? Do we change our ordinance to how we handle apartments and townhouses?
Well, let's think of it this way. In the past, most residential residences were built on residential property, much less land cost, so you could afford to have bigger setbacks and a bigger yard. These are general business properties. They can build high-density projects. They can do a lot with it, so the cost per square foot is much higher, so they've got to increase the number of residences. And that's what we're running into, is we're in the position where we have so many general businesses now that are looking at residential, or the alternative of avoiding all the other options, including townhouses and apartments in general business.
Was this GB or was this RS2?
RM2.
High density.
It was still high density. I'm sorry. I was thinking general business. So that's the scenario we're in. So that's why, in my mind here, because of the cost per square foot, this was by far the best product that we could get next to the neighborhood and continue to put residences on the
table. And I agree to that. I just throw the thought out there that we're going to continue to face this time and time again in the current market we're in. And are we willing to keep saying yes, or do we really want to take some time and study and go, what are our options?
I think we have to look at every project individually, or it would not be fair to the property owners or the developers. But there is nothing inferior about these homes. This is not just thrown up and tracked homes, one looking just like the next. They truly are almost custom, and the demand is great for these products.
And they're not small. I mean, you're like 21 to 2600 square foot. They're not small.
And then they're built 4 to 5.
Yeah. My concern going forward is proliferation of townhouses and apartments, high density. That really worries me. As far as I'm concerned, we have enough apartments in Orange Beach. We don't need any more. I think we need to evaluate general business, high density, and apartment designations. Townhouses, if they're built right at a big enough square footage to where you're not essentially get into the low rent types, if I'm fine with that. But I think that's something I'd like for all of us to look at and think about. So I'll send to the Planning Commission, Kit.
Well, I appreciate Annette and the Planning Commission making sure that it was not going to be anything rented less than 6 months. That is critical that we do every new project, every new development that way.
Well, under the current zoning of this property, RM, was it not the allowable units is almost 144 units under for that total acreage?
That's right.
And we're to 40. We're to 40. So we start talking about density decreases of what's allowed now.
Agreed, but you got to take into effect wetlands. That product wasn't there total if you took wetlands in.
It was over 100 with wetlands.
Yeah.
It was over 100.
I think this is our best option, I'm really not on this project. I'm just thinking we're going to see it at every. This is what we'll see over and over. And we need to know where we're. And Annette, I appreciate you saying take them each individually.
Yeah.
But you know, Madison, Mississippi doesn't allow apartments.
Right.
And,
right.
And I understand no different than we're going to face the battle that we face with no rentals. At some point, we kind of have to establish: are we going to keep allowing a 5-foot setback? And that's my biggest beef. If I can't do it in my neighborhood, it's hard for me to go, well, we're going to justify for you to do it in your neighborhood. I think we need to establish where we're headed.
And I don't disagree, but there's got to be an alternative. And I can't find an alternative for high-density property that's already zoned high-density. We all struggled with this one because it was more cars in the, on Louder Lane and more cars at that intersection, but it could have been far worse. So anyway.
Can I just say one thing? I would like to bring to your attention your memory on Washington Boulevard. A proposal was brought where the houses were very deep lots with 5-foot setbacks. That neighborhood was very much aware that that was RS1.
Mm-hmm.
This neighborhood is very much aware that this is RM2. I think that the point that the mayor is making is that you have to look at, like, Council Member Mitchell said, you have to look at each specific property. If you recall, we had like 20 people show up and say, we want it built with 75-foot lots. That's what's required. That's what needs to be there. It was voted down. Here in this scenario, everybody recognized the zoning. They said, we don't want apartments.
Right.
But we want Louder Lane to be accommodating for the increase of traffic. Yeah. So I think when you look at each individual property and each individual area and the zoning, I think it becomes clear. It's not just a carte blanche, you know, as the mayor was speaking.
It's not, but they will try. I mean, developers will buy pieces of property and try to, even though it may not be the same thing, they will try to make this work.
Well, they did, and they got turned down.
And I agree with Jeff. I'm worried about it as well. And we're building this wonderful school, and we want to have families that have nice homes and yards for their children to play in.
And I also think there's a big difference between the Beach Overlay District and Canal Road.
Sure.
So it's where you are. It's, you know, are you in a traditional neighborhood? And I mean, it's, each site needs to be looked at.
If you look at, there's an overhead. The lots in the trailer park area are larger than these lots. If you look just south of there and look at those lots, they're much, much larger than what. So it's kind of a very interesting contrast there.
But these are almost like townhouses.
They look like townhouses.
I mean, they're almost like townhouses with very small separation. Yeah.
Right.
Well, the days of, the days of big yards and only beach are
past.
If you got one, you should be proud.
But there's
got to
be some people that still want that in Orange Beach, and we're not providing them with the those people with options right now. But.
So the next question is, are they going to have an HOA?
Yes.
And does that HOA have access to be able to buy into the membership of the pool at Lauder Place, which is really irrelevant to me, but the bigger thing is, who's going to police the fact, besides finance, that there are no rentals under 6 months? Mm-hmm. How do we...
It is going to be controlled by HOA.
Their HOA will be the front line,
okay.
And because it's a PUD, the HOA overrides what we do. So the debts and the restrictions of the HOA is what rules that community. Mm-hmm. And I do have you call hearing any conversation about sharing anything with Lauder Place.
Because those kids, if I'm a kid in that neighborhood, I'm going to Lauder Place's pool.
Well, you better make friends.
There's no question about it. So.
Yes, sir.
Just to answer your question, what we still do is we'll still audit all those homes and get on VRBO, similar to what we do now, and make sure that, hey, if there's somebody on there, then most likely they're renting it short term, and we would contact the HOA at that point and send a letter.
So if the HOA decides to override the decision to 6 months, they can?
No. Because it's part of this.
You're going to make it a you need to make it a condition of the PUD.
It is no longer changeable without our permission.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further questions? All righty then.
Are you opening the public hearing?
Yeah, I guess I'll. Okay. Anybody got any thoughts, concerns, questions regarding this issue? Yes, ma'am.
Joni said something about with such small lots, there's no place for the kids to play. And if you want to attract families with kids to work the beach, to go to the schools, I mean, I wouldn't buy one of these houses with 8 feet. There's not even room for swing sets behind the house. So I think that's important to realize that you say you want families to come in. This, you know, I don't think you're going to get that here.
Thank you, ma'am. Anyone else? All right. Next.
This is the also in the same area as the Lauder Pelican subdivision rezoning. This property in question is on the east of Wilder Lane. It's 300 feet south of the intersection of Wilder Lane and Canal Road, and northeast of the intersection of Wilder Lane and Wilder Place. This area presently has a zoning of GB and RM2. And this is an approval to rezone 2.4 acres from GB and RM2 to RS1, or single family residential. Planning Commission gave this rezoning request a favorable recommendation. This rezoning is also needed for the before Wilder Place subdivision plat can be signed, and I'll explain later. But this is the proposed plat, and the arrow indicates lots 2, 3, and 4. That's the area for this proposed rezoning. Next slide. RS1 requires a minimum lot area of 9,000 square feet and a minimum lot width of 75 feet. The current zoning of GB and RM2 requires 20,000 square feet and 100 feet. Future land use map shows this as a single family residential. This rezoning is consistent with the future land use map. And also prior to 1992, this area, this whole 33 acres was zoned RS1. So basically, it was going back to its original zoning. But we go to the next slide. This is the current zoning and aerial map. Next slide. This is another aerial map. And next slide. Again, that just shows the Louder Pelican subdivision and then the area that's requesting the rezoning. Any questions?
None. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Any comments from the audience, public? Okay, Griffin. Next.
Let's do next. Yeah, this is a proposed zoning text amendment dealing with Canal Road side setbacks. This is amending section 4.03 to address the side yard setbacks on Canal Road for lots having side yards abutting Canal Road. Presently, all lots are required to have a 30-foot setback from Canal Road, Orange Beach Boulevard, and the Foley Beach Express. This proposal will keep the 30-foot setback from the rights-of-way of Canal Road west of Sampson Avenue, also Orange Beach Boulevard, and then the Foley Beach Express. For lots on Canal Road east of Sampson Avenue, the side yards abutting canal, that will be 20 feet instead of 30 feet. So we're asking for a decrease from the 30 foot to a 20 foot. Planning Commission gave this a favorable recommendation at their meeting in January. If we look to the next slide, this is just the proposed zoning text amendment. Again, you know, emphasis on that last part about the 20 foot side yard setback from the right-of-way of Canal Road east of Sampson. Next slide. When we were presented this at Planning Commission, we identified three vacant lots that are east of Sampson. They're regular-shaped lots, they're not rectangular. Next slide. And so we did a comparison of what it would be with the current setback requirement of 30 feet, and then with the proposed setback of 20 feet. And this is the one that's at Mobile and Canal. And under the current zoning or current requirement, it's buildable area 1,133 square feet. You decrease that setback, it increases the buildable area of that lot. Next slide. This is a lot here. This has been subject of several variance requests to the Board of Adjustment. You see under the current buildable area, we estimate to be around 241 square feet. And if you decrease that setback requirement to 20 feet, the buildable area increases to around 625 square feet. Next slide. And this is another one on Florida Avenue and Canal. It's the same situation on that. But any questions regarding this? Again, Planning Commission did give a favorable recommendation.
Are we going back to that small one?
The Gulf Avenue one.
Yeah. All right. So that's the buildable area right now is 241 square feet?
That's right, estimate.
but they have to build four stories to have 1,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm. Does the same landowner own that corner that owns a lot next to it?
I'm not aware.
It would be relevant.
And I'm wondering how this came to be. Did someone come and ask for this, or what? Why would we change something for?
And to add to that, I could see the three, maybe we ought to look at the three, but we're saying everything east of Sampson is going to reduce the setbacks.
This is
only a side yard setback. If it's,
this is how it would affect the three lots that are irregularly shaped, and especially now that we own Canal Road from Wilson and beyond to the east. You know, we're not going to have that statewide highway right away. So there you have three irregular lots down in that area that are basically not buildable. I mean, there's structures on them, right?
No, those are the three there are vacant. Throughout the city of Orange Beach, corner lots have a 10-foot side setback,
right,
and a 30-foot front setback. That is the corner that the applicant chooses to be the side yard throughout the city, everywhere, with the exception on 161 and Canal Road. The reason for that is because of the potential of road widening.
Right.
That's the only reason why we have a hardship scenario for corner lots, where you have a 30-foot front and a 30-foot side on a corner lot. These lots, there were a number of variance requests to reduce the side yard setback. And when staff stood up and said to Board of Adjustment, there is no plan to widen Canal Road in this location because there's not sufficient density and the zoning does not support the need to widen Canal Road in this location. Therefore, that 30 feet does not make sense, where throughout the rest of the city, it's a 10-foot side setback. We said east of Sampson because all the high-density zonings are west of Sampson. Everything east of Sampson is single-family residential. Not only is there no plan to widen, nor is there, I think, a warrant to widen Canal Road, you can widen Canal Road in that location without acquiring additional right-of-way. You can put an additional center turn lane without acquiring additional roadway right-of-way. Plus, even with a 20-foot side setback, that gives you 10 feet that you can make available for right-of-way. So we felt that this zoning ordinance was antiquated, that it was not applicable, and that what it allows is for a house to be built that is of the same size such that it complements the other houses within the neighborhood, because it would be of the same size and square footage that the other houses in the neighborhood are, and therefore would be best for the general welfare of the neighborhood. And therefore we brought it in front of you because it kept going back in front of the Board of Adjustment. And the Board of Adjustment felt, well, if it's antiquated, then it needs to be changed. We shouldn't have to grant a variance.
So they never approved a variance?
No,
for this.
No, they did not.
How many times did it go
through? I think all in all, we've had three since I've been here. Two on the south side and one on the north side.
So we're going around the bend of trying to help someone develop a lot.
In my opinion, you are getting rid of an antiquated zoning ordinance that doesn't have any purpose anymore. That's my opinion. That's staff's opinion.
And that may be true, but we're giving away land. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're giving away property, because just think about it. They bought that property at a square foot price of developable property. Mm-hmm. Now we're fixing to give them a significant addition to that out of the goodness of our heart. Now, they'd like to pay us for that.
They own the land. They're not giving up right-of-way. We're just reducing a setback.
But we are increasing the value of that property for them. And they knew what they bought when they got it. They knew what they paid for it. It was commensurate with how much they could build. The only one that I have any compassion for would be the one with the 241 square foot. I could see that needs to be dealt with. Because they have to have a minimum of 1,000 square feet.
Unless the owner owns both lots, and he knew what he was buying, he knew he bought that too.
To be frank, this zoning ordinance does not really help that lot. You'd have to reduce that setback to 10 feet for it to be buildable, because even with a 20-foot setback, you cannot build a house within that buildable area at all. But what it does, we're not just doing it for these three vacant lots, we're doing it for redevelopment in the future. It's for all the lots that front on Canal Road.
Cleans it up.
Which is, means we're reducing all right-of-way.
No, we're just reducing. We're not losing any right-of-way. We're just reducing a setback.
Reducing the setback.
Yeah.
Which.
Yeah.
Thank you, Kit.
It concerns me that variance board continue to say this isn't the way to go about this. So.
No, they sent it to the planning commission.
Well, because it's not their purview.
Well,
they don't make ordinance.
Well, it has to be a hardship.
Exactly.
And this is not hardship.
Exactly. That was the dilemma they were in. That's the dilemma they were in.
Yeah.
Well, it is a hardship for the one that you can't build a house on. So I don't know.
Like
you said. Is the 241? Yeah, I don't, but how do we allow a piece of property to exist in zone that is unbuildable? I don't know how that came about. I don't know how long the person's owned it. I don't know what the story is, but it seems sort of odd. I mean, I could argue this one both ways. I could make it.
And I don't want to pick at you.
Yeah, I could argue this.
This cleans it up.
Yeah. But I mean,
unless you own the one to the north of it, this picture, and then it was a mute point because it just gave you some extra space.
Yeah.
I will tell you that the Planning Commission considered no people. We looked at it strictly from the antiquated ordinance. We did not discuss the owner of any of the property, the owner's name of any of the property, and the Planning Commission, I think, takes the stance always that if there is property in a residential neighborhood, we would like a house on it instead of a vacant piece of property. So I promise you that no personalities were involved, no discussion was involved. It was not until we came back here that I even learned who the owner was.
Well, that shouldn't be involved anyway. It's a personalities or people.
Exactly. Question.
We agree.
So, if the person, did we notify anyone around or the adjacent property owners?
I don't know that.
Because they may have bought their house thinking at some point they bought this place because there's not going to be anything there beside them.
Let me answer her.
Okay.
There was some, boy's brother was here the other night and he owned a piece of property next to it. He owns a piece of property next to it and they bought it on an assumption that it would nothing
there
be built
there.
There
won't be anything there, right.
Well, I bought my house that way too.
Yeah, sure. We can assume anything, can't we?
Okay, Kit, you brought to my attention that the immediate neighbors wanted to see this extra setback of the setback reduced. Is that correct?
Yes, there were neighbors to the west of the Mobile property that said they didn't want it to be handled in Board of Adjustment, but they did want the variance, I mean, they did want the ordinance changed. However, there were there was one person that spoke against this ordinance change in general because of exactly what was just said. They did not. They felt that that property should remain vacant because they own property
so
next door to it.
Someone went in and saw an opportunity, possibly, if I can get things changed and I can leave. Which an enterprising person, but still.
But does not hurt the city. That does not hurt the city.
Well, it hurts the person next to it. And
who wanted to not have a neighbor and who wanted to not have a neighbor.
Which
one of us would, right? I mean, they
should
have bought the property. I think that that's not a fair argument, to be honest.
They should have bought the property.
Unless it was you.
Well, I would fight really hard. But I have been here. Is that person here?
Seriously, it doesn't hurt unless it's you.
Is that person here? Is that landowner here?
I don't know.
No.
Mr. Cecil? No.
No, that person is not here.
Okay.
No, Rick. So? let me go back to the start. This is what brought it all up. It came before the Board of Variance, and this property does not conform. It came before us twice. So we are the deciding factor of whether or not it can be zoned that way or not, and you can change it. What would they with? We declined it completely. Now, this gentleman had a chance. He could go to court. He could get him a lawyer, go to court, and try and get it changed. Or that was it. That would be final. But now we're going to bring it up before the council, And so really we won't count anything. If the council can change our decision, which we are the final word in it, unless he goes to court and have it. But now it's where let's change the setback. Now, we ruled against this. We went to court last year on one of these same things and we won. But now I understand what the man does, but it's imputing our integrity of what we decide. If y'all come along and say...
See, so you can't say that, buddy.
You understand what I'm talking about.
Right.
We decide, y'all are going to have to decide, which is it, but this land does not contain a hardship at all.
Exactly.
So there's no hardship on this. Now, you can zone this for this gentleman so he can build two houses and he can make a lot of money off it. And we do not spot zone for somebody who wants to make money. I don't think the city should.
Don't have anything to do with zoning.
It's setbacks.
Well,
no zoning.
Well, we don't change the setback rules for somebody to make money, correct?
You're on the Board of Adjustments, Mr.
Right.
Cecil, right?
Right.
And you're a sitting member of the Board of Adjustments.
Right.
And the reason why y'all turned it down, because you felt like this was in the wrong arena to hear it, so it needed to go to the Planning Commission. Am I wrong or right?
When they bring it to us, we don't care about the plan. We are the final.
Is it a hardship?
Hardship. Land cannot cause a hardship, period. Now, we do on this same lot down here on Canal Road. We've had a lot of people that wanted 8 or 10 feet, and we said no. I don't say a lot, but some. But now they wanted to change buildings, turn them around. We've had them turn around. We can give 2 or 3 foot.
We just made them set in lay steps and stairs so that they don't come down into the. I get it. I've served on that Board of Adjustments for about 8 years.
Yes, well, you know more about it than I do.
No, I don't.
Yeah, but I do this. We are going by the rules which it works. Then that's a commission. Y'all tell us to go, should say what rules we go by. These rules were set when this city was built. I mean, came into a city. You said that's to keep the integrity of this neighborhood. So are you going to keep, this will not keep the integrity of the Bear Point, instead? Listen, I don't have a bone to pick. I live over here, and next week will be something else about over on the beach. There's a lot going over there, but this is tonight on this. But I do not think if we change this for these people here, somebody else is going to come along and want it too. If this will multiply later, everybody's going to come down here and say, I won't mind changing. You changed it over here to set back. Look at me. I got 130-foot setback.
Because they're irregular lots. On that Board of Adjustment, Mr. Cecil, a lot of your cases that come before you are because of small lots, irregular lots.
Well, the thing is, we're not keeping the integrity of the city, of the lots of the city. We want people to have a little yard, but what we're doing now, we're building all of these pubs, which have no yards, no. We want families to come in, and we want the money, but we want.
We want families.
We want a lot of families.
No money to it. We want families.
But as long as you're putting pubs up, now there's some of them with a almost 5 foot front to the street, and then you've got them 5 foot apart, and you can get one car parked in there, no yard, anything from the place. I think a lot has to be
But they're affordable to young starting families.
No, sir.
Mr. Cecil. That not all of them can afford that beach fund that you've had for 150 years.
Well, would you like to raise a family in
you've
a
pud? You've told me about that.
Pardon?
You've told me about raising your family.
But not in a pud, though. I bought a house with a yard so they could get dirty in the yard. They can't even get dirty in the yard to go to another
pud. But Cecil, yardage dictates, the market dictates the yard, Cecil. Well, it has nothing to do with anything. It's the price per square foot. That's just the bottom line. It's business. It has nothing to do with us. I mean, you know, if we go back a lot of places, the price per square foot dictated the houses had to be that close to make it residential. If we don't approve residential, then they got to stack them on top of each other.
I can understand that. But if we want families in here, are we going to give them all a
then we got to start rezoning properties. That's what we got to do because you can't, if it's general business or high density, you got to build what works financially.
I mean, we're not. I'm not choosing to put five-foot setbacks there, but I'm choosing five-foot setbacks over an apartment complex on that particular piece of property because of the cost of the property. But here, I'm going to summarize, y'all made the right decision. You are exactly right to deny it as the variance board and the parameters of what, how you function. Mm-hmm. Made the right decision.
Well,
but we also, as a planning commission and council, have the, I think, the obligation, the fiduciary responsibility to evaluate any ordinance that's brought to our attention that is not, that doesn't make sense. It's antiquated. Okay, so that's been brought to our attention that this setback is being requested. So to me, it has nothing to do with what's going to be built there. It has nothing to do with who's there. The question now becomes, do we give up 10 feet because it's best for the city and for the area? That's the question at hand. It has nothing else to do with anything else. Well, and that's a legitimate
ask. Would be better? Why would it be better?
I don't know. That's the question.
And what you just said about, okay, why are we giving that? And then they can have, they will make the money. This, it so happens that I think the same contractor on both of these lots down here. So we're going to give, what are you going to do? You're going to say, well, we'll give it to you, and you make the whole lot of money off of it, and we'll break what y'all just set back to anybody. There is going to be other time, places in this city where they're going to need setbacks.
And we say no, if it doesn't make sense. But let's just say this. Let's just say that we give them the 10 feet. Yep, they come out like a bandit. They did great. They were smart enough. However, the greater good was served because by giving the 10 feet, the neighbors and the area improved. I'm just using this as an illustration. I'm not saying one way or the other, but I'm saying that's what we're looking at. Does doing this make the area better? It has nothing to do with the individuals. Yeah, they may profit from it, but I don't want to hinder the or affect the entire neighborhood that might be better by doing it just because somebody might profit from it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Y'all follow me?
Well, that was, that was the feeling of the planning commission.
Right.
I had no idea who owned the property, who the surrounding people were. It truly is to enable a home to be built in our residential neighborhood. And that's the bottom line. And all of this is good discussion, but I don't see 20 people here fighting this ordinance change. So if the neighbors are against it, they are remaining silent. And no one came forth at the planning commission that I can recall.
Or they don't understand. That one person. Or was that at the board of adjustment? That might have been the board of adjustment. I think that was the board of adjustment.
I don't see a positive. I mean, what?
You don't see a positive to having a home there versus empty?
I don't see a positive in changing setbacks. I don't.
I can tell you in my neighborhood, I would much rather an empty lot than another home. Another home just brings in more people, more traffic, more noise, more construction. I loved when it was empty lots. I bought there with all the people. Now they're all houses, and I can't see a darn boat go by. That's all I do is see contractors all day. So we are in agreement with the fact that if there's a vacant lot, I want to see a house. I hope the two next to me stay vacant until eternity. But they're not.
Unless you own the house.
Well, unless you own the
buy the property. That's what you're guaranteed.
I really don't think there's a right or wrong.
It's just a matter of opinion.
I think the variance board did exactly what they are charged to do. It did not meet the standard of
It does
hardship.
Not meet the standard, so therefore,
period.
I personally think y'all should back it up. That's my opinion. You can vote the way you want to.
And I appreciate your opinion always.
And there will be consequences in other places, and you've got to think about the consequences that's going to happen. And they may never four lane or three lane for now. Might, but you know what? This will impugn that neighborhood down there when you've got a mouse sticking out here, and now there are other lots down there. Maybe sometime later on that they're going to come out too. There's places where it can be done some more, but I do not think it should be done at this time because it's impugning the whole neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Vince?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Got to waste time, Vince. That raises him. Go ahead, man. Age before beauty, too.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I mean, beauty before age. I'm sorry.
Don't you hate that?
Well, I'd like to
get a 20-foot setback on the Bay Circle. I want to fulfill Cecil's prophecy there. You know, I'd like to see it on other places too, but you as a council have that opportunity to just do these three lots if you wanted to. I mean, you can do whatever you want instead of rezoning the whole everything east of Sampson. I mean, it's
Vince, a corner lot on Bay Circle has a 10-foot side setback. A corner lot on Bay Circle has a 10-foot side setback.
I'm talking about.
I'm not talking about a front. I'm not talking about a front setback. I'm talking about a side setback.
Cecil.
I'm not. I'm getting a drink of water. I'm poor.
Oh yeah. We want you back.
I'm coming back.
Come on.
Because
I just think that you have an opportunity here just to do these three lots if you wanted them, instead of changing the whole rule book for everybody else. I mean, it's pretty simple, whatever. I mean, so that's all I have.
Thank you, Vince.
Thank you, Vince.
But Vince, I don't know how we do that without, because we're going to change the ordinance.
You can't.
I don't know how we did that.
You don't do that.
Because the only way to change those three is to change the entire ordinance.
Yes.
So I don't think we can just carve out the three.
No. You couldn't override the variance board?
No.
I don't think so.
No.
Court system.
I don't think
Baldwin County Court.
Vince, it was a good thought until you were wrong, right?
It will go to court, Vince, not us.
Okay.
So while we're talking about all this, I was looking at these parcels and where they are, and sort of, you know, this obviously is on the east side of town, which is probably the oldest platted area of town in Orange Beach. And most likely what's happened here is all these platted lots existed before the width of Canal Road is what it is today. Mm-hmm. And as that road was acquired and came through, it took lots that run north and south, east and west, and they chopped them off and made triangle lots because that section of canal runs in a northeasterly type of direction. So it wasn't that a lot potentially was platted or created in a manner where there's a triangle that can be built on or cannot be built on. It's from the acquisition of right-of-way that now makes that lot smaller and has a less buildable area because of the road. If you go and acquire more right-of-way, then it's going to take more property and so forth and so on. So in a lot of instances, and I'm not saying this is what you guys have to do, but in a lot of instances when these properties are cut like that, buildability and a buildable area and all those kind of things are considered, and that's why you see some right-of-ways take entire pieces of property, is because now it does not have enough area to build on. So like that smallest one, for instance, can't build something on it, the state, whomever, whatever, be a taker, say they would buy the entire parcel. In this instance, that did not happen. So you have a platted legal lot of record that is there, that somebody has the right to use. It existed before the road was there, most likely, and I feel pretty certain it existed way before the zoning and setbacks were ever in place. So those two or three parcels happen to get the brunt of the deal and a setback because they never had the room to build to begin with or never didn't have the adequate space.
Okay, let's back up because I don't understand where you're going there. If I own that piece of property,
mm-hmm.
and it was planted to be built upon.
Mm-hmm.
Canal Road goes through there, takes away my ability to build. Somebody got paid.
For the portion that went to the right of way.
I thought you just said, Typically,
they would say that smallest piece, they should have probably acquired that entire lot. not part of it.
Okay, and that's just one out of three. The other three are buildable lots.
Okay.
The other three are buildable. That's not the issue. It's the issue whether they want a bigger footprint or not. But they're all three buildables, as they are, because they're over 1,000 square feet, I think. The footprint may be a little smaller because of the triangle, but they could still build over 1,000 square feet with two stories. Am I correct?
Well, when you square it off, you lose those points.
I get you.
So it gets, but I do agree that I think that other than that one, they are buildable.
That would be what
I was just trying to shed some light on potentially how that's created, how those lots have become the way they are. Not that it matters about the setback, but that's typically, you don't tend to have a lot of lots that have dual frontage on right-of-ways and then have to deal with those types of setbacks.
And I'm not disagreeing. It was just that my point was somebody got paid for that.
Sure. Well, they may have, they may have given it.
But the point was somebody was happy with it and they had X. And then when they sold X, it was only worth so much to the buyer because of what was available to build. Everybody was happy. Everything was copacetic. I said, I go back now. The only reason we should consider this is, does it make the neighborhood better and the area better? Nothing to do with anybody or anything building.
Right.
Does it make the area better or not? That, I think that's the question. So, but I mean, what you said is enlightening and it makes sense, and I appreciate that. So, thanks, Earl.
Thank you.
Thank you, Earl.
And to your question, it was the Planning Commission's recommendation that it did.
It did.
That the change would make it. Not that you're, any of us are required to follow the Planning Commission,
right.
But that was a recommendation.
Greg Lillibrary, 29514 Canal Road. Cecil called me. I just happened to be at the last meeting that this came up. And Cecil called me. So I went over and met with Cecil and looked up a bunch of information that I just gave you 10 minutes before the meeting. And I live right down in that area. So frankly, I would dump that. If this change was made, because if me and my two neighbors, the Duffy's and the Harris's, decided to do a little subdivision on our property and cash out, the 20-foot would give us all more room. And what Cecil asked me was, when I went over to visit with him, he said, look at this house on Highway 182. And you go down there and you look at these 3-4-story houses that are being built, and I picture my property. My children want to cash out or whatever, or whoever owns it. And you get one of these 3 or 4 houses that's 50 feet high, 3 or 4 stories. So, frankly, it would benefit me to make the change. When I looked at these, and Frank, Chris, you could probably look up and see who owns that lot. But the point is that the mayor made earlier, when the guy bought the lot, the right-of-way was there. The setbacks are there. All these, I mean, the Florida, that subdivision was done in 2012. It was lot L, which was one of the really big lots that was in the original subdivision of Hare Point, which, by the way, was 1954, I think. I just was looking at my lot. The survey of the Hubert Lowe property was 1954. And then I just looked at it a second ago. I didn't think to look at it earlier, but I just looked at it 15 seconds ago. The right-of-way in 1954 was 100 feet. So that hadn't changed. And the property, all of these lots have traded, been sold, and bought. Florida Street subdivision was done with lot L. 2012, the lots just bought like 2017. So the people who buy the lots know what the rules are. They're not, we're not dealing with them, we're dealing with sophisticated people. And so just reiterating the point, it's all about value. And is the city gonna change a zoning ordinance that would be applicable up and down Canal Road, which would benefit me personally. But, y'all got to decide if you're going to set that precedent. And you say it only applies to these three lots. That sounds a lot like spot zoning.
No. Right.
You know, so, anyway. So it is a zoning issue.
East of Sands. It is a zoning issue because that's where the lots are located in that area. They're not west.
But the point is, it's value. The guys that bought those lots knew what the rules were. And now they're asking y'all to change the rules when the Board of Adjustment
decided not to change the boundaries. And they could have gone to court.
Just decide.
I don't know. They could have gone to court.
Now, the Board of Adjustments doesn't just decide. They have a standard to meet. And it did not meet the hardship standard, period.
Right, but he could have gone to court.
About what?
Y'all are going to basically change it.
Staff is, yep, staff is not in front of council because anyone asked staff to do this. Staff is in front of council because not board member Cecil Young, but other board members stated that they felt it was inappropriate for staff to be stating that the board should consider granting a hardship, I mean granting a variance, because the zoning requirement was antiquated. There was discussion where if it is antiquated, then staff needs to discuss with Planning Commission whether they concur that this is something that needs to be reconsidered. Staff is bringing this in front of council as it had in front of Planning Commission, not any individual. And it's because there were recurring variances that were going in front of Board of Adjustment, which in my opinion is indicative of something needing to be addressed when it keeps recurring. The first one occurred, I don't know, 5 years ago, four or five, and there have been more prior to that. So to me, that seems like something that needs addressing. But this has nothing to do with any individual.
Thank you, Kit.
Terrified that. That's what we're saying. So did we determine it was antiquated based upon multiple people coming to ask?
We determined it was antiquated because we verified that the 30-foot setback is based on the future potential of widening Canal Road, and there is not sufficient density with the existing zoning to warrant the widening of Canal Road such that it needs additional right-of-way. The current right-of-way is sufficient to widen to three lanes. In addition, the 20-foot setback still allows for right-of-way to be acquired because throughout the city, all side yard setbacks for corner lots are 10 feet, not 30 feet.
I understand that, but Mr. Leatherberry just pointed out that the right-of-way has been there since 1954 at that exact same distance.
But the 30-foot setback has not been there since 1954.
Except
someone
it has been, as long as the setback's been in existence, it has been there, and it has been there for all of Canal Road. So is it just antiquated for this portion of Canal Road because high density is west of Sampson? So I'm just trying to understand why we determined it was antiquated just on this portion.
It is staff's opinion that there shall not be rezoning east of Sampson such that it will warrant the need to widen Canal Road to more than three lanes. Now, if council feels that there is the potential for rezoning and the loss of single-family residential, then staff cannot support a reduction in the 30-foot setback.
There is a bridge interior point out there. We don't know what the future holds.
And that is absolutely the issue at hand. If you feel that there could be a bridge, if you feel that there could be a need for a four-lane road, then absolutely staff would recommend do not consider reducing this setback.
The people of Bear Point spoke years ago about high density east of Wilson Boulevard. And so we changed the zoning. They would not have any more high-rises down there or anything like that. You think anybody wants to build a bridge to Inverary Point? After we lived through that in 2004, 2005, would we do that? Would we do that?
We're not going to be sitting here in 40 years. That's my point. You and I, well, you might be. I doubt I can.
I'm just making a statement to that point about the bridge.
May I say one more word and I'll stop? It was only anticipated after we turned it down. This should have been come up years ago. If it was anticipated, it should have been brought up 15, 20 years. Only then we turned it down, they said, oh, that's out of place.
Thank you, Cecil.
The point I was making, and I'm glad Cecil asked me to look at it, because, I mean, I would never thought about it and just thought, hey, this is going to help me out. But the people bought these lots have traded recently. The people bought them. It's a matter of value. They bought it knowing 100-foot right-of-way, which has been since 1954, and they bought it as a matter of value, period. You know, and y'all going to change it for these three lots.
course, it would benefit me when I come in with my subdivision with the Duffys and the Harrises, because we would then be able to build like monsters over there that Cecil pointed out to me, 50 feet high.
No, 40. 40.
40
feet high.
Well, I'll reiterate.
Anyway, it's just it's a matter of value, and these people bought it knowing what the zoning was, they bought it knowing what the setbacks were, and they bought it knowing it's a 100-foot right-of-way, which has been since 1954, if not. So
I just keep coming back to
Let me say this. You know, all I've heard over the last several years is we have to protect the integrity of the residential neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. And that's accomplished by the existing rules. And so you're going to go change the rules, which can affect the integrity of the residential neighborhood that I live in. So,
my question is, what are we accomplishing by doing it? What happened? And I really don't have a clear idea of what we're saying. Are we saying that by reducing the setback, we're now allowing more homes to be built, and we're taking right away from potential growth? I mean, I'm just having a hard time. What is the overall goodwill purpose of this? Why is it antiquated?
Bay Circle is old. Bay Circle is one of the oldest streets in town.
The reason why it's antiquated is because everywhere in the entire city of Orange Beach, with the exception of these locations, 161 and Canal Road, the side yard setback is 10 feet on a cornered lot. And the only reason why it's not 10 feet on a corner lot is because of the potential need to widen the roadway. With regard to what's the purpose, I don't want a teeny little house in my neighborhood that's going to pull down my property values, which they can build a small footprint on these lots. I would like a house of square footage that's comparable to my value of my house, which I've heard from other people in the neighborhood. We don't want a little squeezed in tiny house on that lot, which is what they would have to build. We'd like a house that is of similar square footage and similar value as the rest of the neighborhood to support the market values of the homes in our neighborhood. That's what I heard from the neighbors.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that, but I'm like you, Tony, in the 10 foot that you know, I know it's saying all the way around, but the issue I have is that in what we talked about yesterday was the one on Magnolia and Bay Circle that should have been facing Bay Circle and it's facing Magnolia, and I don't know if we've been out there yet, Griffin, to measure and see if it meets that setback of 10 feet, but that house looks horrible. I mean, it does not add value to that neighborhood whatsoever.
But this is not reducing it to 10, it's reducing it to 20.
Right, I understand.
It will not be the same circumstance.
You're saying it's 10 all throughout the city.
It is.
That don't seem like it's, and in this case, on Bay Circle, it is not a good fit because we've allowed a house to go there that looks terrible.
That's right on the right of way.
Exactly.
And we need to verify that.
Yes.
It boils down to values. That's what it boils down to. A lot else sold for $45,000 under the tax appraisal today, though it was turned into 7 lots. And the tax value was $396,000 for those 7 lots. That's just the land, not the houses. So it all boils down to value. And it would make my lot more valuable if the Duffys and the Harrises and we all got together and said, let's put a street in there and build some of these 40-foot high houses, and I got a side setback on Canal Road. People are going to drive by and look at that house just like you drive by and look at that one Cecil got me to look at. So the rules have been there. The right-of-way's been there. They bought it knowing what it was. So it's all about that. They bought it. They're going to sell it. Now, that one in particular, I'm going to look at it. It's sold twice in the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 years. And I didn't think to look to see who owned Chris to look at right now, see who owns the lot just immediately to the north of it. But it may be that that lot adds value to the other lot, that you'll be taken away, even if they get another 10 feet and they build a little bitty teeny house, like you talked about. And like the point was made at the last meeting about this, you can build two stories. You don't have to build one story. So that lot's a little different. Now, we're going to be talking about changing the zoning for one lot, a spot zone.
So three houses would be the effect of making the change. Everybody else would just essentially wait for the next days.
Until they decide, 10 years from now, if they're going to build a subdivision, they now can build more houses because of this change. Where they are with the Duffy zone, where John McGinnis is, where Matt Ryan's place is, all the way through there.
And multiple large lots that could be done. That could be done.
Any further questions? I think that horse is almost in it. Yeah, it is. It's necessary. I've had a hard time wrapping my head around it. Okay, well, then we'll close and move to the next one. Backup?
Griffin, you're still with us.
Yes, right. This is PUD modification at the wharf. It's approval of a major modification to the wharf to acknowledge undeveloped areas as temporary locations for existing parking areas for concerts and special events, and to allow for necessary maintenance of those places. The Planning Commission considered this application, gave it a favorable recommendation. Next slide. This just gives a brief history of the wharf. It was a preliminary approval in 2004. At that time, they said that the final PUD approval would be done in phases, and between November of 2004 and August of 2008, there have been five final PUD approvals that have been approved. And in August 2006, the city approved a major modification to add more condo and hotel units. If we go to the next slide, this is just the phasing plan that we have in our office, looking at the current final approval phases. And the next slide, this would be an updated one that was done by the applicant, shows the zip line area and areas that have been done since the, I think, 2010. I think that shows like the hotel and the event center and everything. But if we go to the next slide, with this request, the wharf acknowledges that current undeveloped areas in the PUD being used as overflow parking locations during concerts. These undeveloped areas will be used temporarily for overflow parking until the area, those areas become developed according to the approved master plan. And there are 9 designated overflow areas. If we go to the next slide, there's areas that are outlined in yellow. Those are the overflow parking areas during concerts and special events. Next slide. And this is just the a civil engineering plan, the arrows indicating where those parking areas are located. Next slide. The modification request to propose to install nearly 3.3 acres of gravel parking along with 2 driveways to Wharf Parkway East. This is the, if we go back to the previous slide, this is going to be the area that's shown in the green box. Okay, so we go to the next slide. And as part of this modification request, the applicant requests an exemption from landscape requirements due to temporary status of the parking areas. So next slide. Just some staff comments. Improvements to the parking area near the Oasis were initiated without permits. The owner believed the work was maintenance and did not require permitting. The use of the areas for parking are temporary until the site is developed in accordance with the master plan. Retention, detention facilities and compliance with stormwater regulations will be provided for the parking area at such time the parking areas are significantly approved. And the applicant again requests no landscaping due to the temporary nature of the parking areas, and Planning Commission and City Council need to approve that exemption.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Okay. Any questions? Am I good with this?
Well, no.
No,
I'm not.
I mean, I'm good with the layout of the overflow parking, but they've already done improvements. Back one more, Chris. Nope. There you go.
That's keep going.
No, go back.
Go forward.
Okay.
Excuse me, forward.
Okay.
Maybe that's what
we're going to do. Back up.
Keep going there.
As part of the modification request, the applicant requests an exemption from the landscape requirements due to the temporary status of the parking areas, okay? Modification request proposes to install nearly 3.3 acres of gravel parking lot along the wharf. So how temporary is this going to be, Jim? Oh, excuse me, Ursula. You can come on around, Jim. I know you, yeah. You can come on around, Jim. So how temporary is it going to be?
So the purpose of the gravel in its entirety is the fact that the W Club parking lot, which is the box seat holder right. and so forth yep. there, and that's it, has gravel. So that area in the back, which was, you know, sort of made up of some dredge material, rock, lay down yard, you know, stuff like that during construction, the wharf went in to improve it and add a little more rock to what was out there to make a better surface for this W Club parking. The term temporary is the sense that if the day comes that a condo goes there as per the original master plan, mm-hmm. at that time that gravel will come up and be okay. done away with. In terms of the landscaping, what we asked for initially in terms of that was to not have to do any landscaping since there was some already there along Wharf Parkway with the palm trees and so forth and so
there
on.
There is, yeah. There
but
is.
Then what we agreed to with the Planning Commission is where the dividing line, so sort of that northern line of the green there,
uh-huh.
we went in and there was some minimal landscaping put in and a split rail fence and different things like that. So there is okay. some dividing features there from what's the W Club and the end of that gotcha. Gravel area and then what is the undisturbed area in front of that. So
okay.
Yeah, if you all read by it,
and there's some, I have some I've stuff been driven by it a lot, so
and it's got all that minimal. I mean, there are full-grown trees there.
Sure.
Right. I mean, it's minimal in terms of you know having to
it's
do.
It's just not Main Street.
Correct.
True.
That's correct.
And it is temporary.
Yes. It would be temporary at the time.
Don't let him talk.
Don't let him talk.
Let me say this about the line. Thank you. And again, I come up asking forgiveness. We always want to take the customer, the people who go to our concerts, their safety. And every year we've gone in there and we've graveled the entrance and we've done not landscaping, but we've done improvements to each lot to make it easier walking. And we felt like that this was an area that we can improve. And we spent significant money improving it and put some landscaping there just to have the safety. We put lights up and did all that. I thought unless we asphalted, and again, I came before y'all and asked for forgiveness on the asphalt.
To a more permanent.
Yeah, right. This is just temporary until we want to put it in place.
The difference between that is forgiveness and permission.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jim. I appreciate that.
It worked out well. This mm-hmm. week, everything turned out well, I think.
I just wanted... What happened? What did they make? Did they make this sign behind me?
No, but I'm here for you.
We just backed up what you had.
That's just the way you push it alone. He's going to want me to. If what Jim's not saying is that the gravel has been, it's just like he acquired the wharf with a lot of gravel already out there.
Yeah.
There's been gravel put down for lay down yards for projects and it never was removed. It probably should have been removed, but we never had them remove it. Mm-hmm. They put down gravel in support of, I think, providing parking for City Art Center events. It's just gravel has just kind of happened on the site. It's been placed there for construction and not removed. So he was thinking that all of this was sanctioned by the city because he acquired this. Wait, why are you laughing? Okay. He acquired this from AIG Baker. And so when I called Jim and I said, Jim, the amount of work you're doing, it's time. We have to get this approved by council. You all need to be sanctioned for these temporary parking lots because it's never come in front of them. He was really surprised.
He didn't think that it really required a permit, but we've never put this in front of you, and it's time for you all to say, okay, it's okay for them to use this for parking, so we have a paper trail of PUD approval for this. So that's why we're here. Okay. He didn't do this intentionally to get forgiveness. It's just he just didn't understand.
Well, I thought, I'll be honest with you, I told Kit, that's silly. They're just improving a lot that's already being parking on with materials that's already there. What does it matter? But Kit runs the show.
Well, we had a little.
She said
we had some improvements to the southerly wide open parking lot last year.
And that Mr. Bibby did because I said you really need to get landscaping in because it's a vehicular use area.
I just recall you. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
And I will say that the police department during the seafood fest. I know the numbers are 18,000, 19,233. Use this lot and said we're glad to have it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's worked out. We used the lot on the west side for the arts festival. Worked out great. And again, it's just an improvement. Again, in my mind, I'm adding gravel to make it better, to make an easier walk. And, you know, I would never go against the county.
Well, it's a good problem to have, though, Jim.
I mean, yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Bibby.
Thank you, sir.
Russell, thank you.
I appreciate 20 sponsors.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate what they're doing, folks. You know.
Yeah, that's huge. This is the most concerts in 1 year, right?
Sir?
We're up to 20 concerts this year.
20 concerts.
20. That's the most. That's a record so far.
Can I say that there was one that was more than this, but it was like the Mobile
That's when we had widespread panic for 3 days.
I think it's a week this year.
I did have a conversation with their owner today, and he said to tell you he really appreciated you working with us on this and directions on the landscaping and everything. It just worked out fine. It was a big investment for us, and again, for improvement for our patrons. Thank you for your effort and your hard work. And again, anything we can do.
Thank you, Mr. Bibby.
Thank
you, R.C.
Just one thing that we do want to make sure is that we realize what we're asking for in addition, you know, with this is as the need comes for improvement and things like that, we've acknowledged the fact that we'll get with Kit and staff and sort of look at it from a drainage perspective and, you know, any of that as these improvements go forward. So it's just not going to be a free-for-all, do whatever. We will work with them, but it sort of streamlines it a little bit that we don't have to keep coming back for
sure.
A modification to add some gravel here, you know, do a curb cut there or whatever the case may be.
Well, I'm good if y'all are good.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Public hearing. Anybody? Anybody out there want to prosecute Jim? Okay. Prosecute, it's all the same.
Should we just have Amnesty Day for Bibby, like once a year?
Just go forward and admit everything you did wrong.
Planning board, council.
That's what I do with my little boy.
The keep step will send you to a sanctuary city, though.
Yeah. Yes, sir. All right.
Thank you, Jim.
Where are we at? And we'll coach
one more.
One more.
This is the Burris Farm Market site and building, and this is to allow for a boat dealership at that. And we go to this next slide. That's the Burris Farm Market site plan. If we go to the next slide, this is the request. The yellow areas indicate outdoor boat display areas. And the brown areas are going to be the indoor boat display areas. But they meet parking requirements and everything. Staff had no issues.
It's all good.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I sure wish we had farmers back down there. I'd love to be there.
I wish we did too.
But it is what it is.
Just not that.
And this is a short term.
Right.
Short term.
Is that the same folks at Pensacola?
Niceville.
Okay. They used to be in Pensacola, too.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right. Any questions? Anybody have any comments or before? Okay. All right. I'm dragging on here.
Yeah.
I'm moving to ordinances. First reading, Lord's Meeting, Lord, somewhere 72, broken sound PUD. Is there anything that we need to do tonight, or do we just need to do them all? I mean, which one you are?
Just go through them. One more next week, which is odd.
Which is not going to happen. If y'all do it there. All right, everybody, motion for unanimous consent?
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules for our meeting's consideration of the ordinance.
Second.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Silver?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Foster?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd? Mayor Kenney?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Any further discussions?
6 month?
Yep.
And additional right of way.
Okay.
That's what the motion needs to be.
Okay.
Mr. Silvers?
No, Mr. Dave, Johnson.
Mr. Johnson.
Move to adopt the ordinance with the following additions of there will be no rentals shorter than 6 months, and the right of way needed and required for the turnout.
Ladder lane.
The Lauder intersection with canal.
I second that amendment to that motion.
Okay. Any further discussion? Okay, call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silver?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kenney?
Yes. The first reading, ordinance amending number 172, Lauder Pelican Rezoning.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kenney?
Yes. Any kind of motion?
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Discussion? Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kenney?
Yes. Okay, first reading, ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Canal Road Setbacks.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kenney?
Yeah.
Move to adopt?
Yes, I guess. I really would like to think about it again, but let's go. All right.
Move to adopt?
Second.
Okay. All right, I want to make sure I understand what we're voting on. So yes. Move to adopt, a yes vote means we're moving it to 20 feet, is that correct? And a no vote means we're not. Okay. Everybody got that?
Second.
Okay. So yes is?
It's to change it.
It's to change. Okay.
No.
All right. Just want to make sure we're all on the same page. Mm-hmm. All right. Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
No.
Councilmember Boyd?
No.
Mayor Kenney?
Okay. Pat.
Pass.
Y'all just gonna have to wait a minute. Yes. All right. First reading, ordinance amending number 172, the zoning ordinance, Wolf PD overflow parking.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow immediate consideration of the ordinance.
Second.
Councilmember Silvers? Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kenney?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Any discussion?
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kenney?
Yes. All right, first reading, ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Emerald Coast Marine at the Wharf.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow an immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kenney?
Yes.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Any further discussion? Call roll.
Councilmember Silver?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Costa?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Penn?
Yes. Okay, we're taking no action on our municipal code for damage prevention.
Can I speak to that for a moment, please, sir?
Yes, you can.
Linda Bradley, 2220 Long Lane. There's one portion, at least, of this ordinance, if I understand correctly, that requires, it's optional and it has to do with your vote. And the section I'm referring to is actually on page 15. It is section 42-409, paragraph 5D. It has to do with breakaway walls in the V-zone. And it specifically states that breakaway wall enclosures shall not exceed 299 square feet. And as someone who has a two-car garage, and I'm not the only one in the V-zone that has a garage, with breakaway walls, I would be afraid that I would not be able to rebuild that garage should it be damaged. And just on behalf of my 22-year-old Mustang, Sally would really appreciate it if you would reconsider that so that she can sleep in the garage. Thank you very much.
To increase it. You want to increase it.
Enough to support two cars. Remember, and I don't know what that square footage would be, but also it has to do with where my pilings are. Yeah. You know, the pilings are already there, so mm-hmm. I can't. And everyone's pilings are different.
That's right.
So a standard two-car garage is about 20 by 20 or 19 by 20, so it's 400 square feet, yeah, give or take. So.
Right. But it can, you know, where the pilings are is where,
exactly,
is where it has to be, and I don't know how that would affect a specific square footage to mm-hmm. every case.
Yes.
But just okay, we'll throw that out.
We should give Elaine and sit down and
yeah. I'll get with them.
Try to figure out something.
I'll get with them. And we'll follow up with you, Linda.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay. All right, I'm going to take a motion to adjourn and then go straight into committee at home. So?
Uh-huh.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, committee at home for Tuesday, March 12th is called to order. Call the roll, please.
Here.
Councilmember Johnson.
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell.
Here.
Councilmember Costa.
Here.
Councilmember Boyd.
Here.
Mayor Penn.
Here. Okay, considering previous minutes, so work session, Urban Councilman Committee of the Whole 219. We'll move forward for review. Miscellaneous, just discuss Hangout Festival 2019 shuttle plan. Is there anything different? Same old same? Okay. Y'all got any questions about
it? I didn't see anything different, but I didn't recall really what.
I always sent
it to us today.
It's basically the same as last year. I think the chief and the shuttles has reviewed it. Yeah, that's the entire plan. So if you all do not see anything, we don't really have to take action. I just want to make sure you all see it so we know that what they're giving them, yeah, the ability
nothing
to do.
Nothing stands it out in any difference. So.
We learned this after year one.
And we have a daily discussion with the police department. Correct? We have a daily discussion with the police department so that if there are any problems, you can change them immediately.
There was one issue last year, basically, that involved Alabama Point West, mm-hmm. parking there under the bridge, some other violations involving noise, loitering, things of that nature. And we can handle that with the on-duty units.
Okay.
We just have to put it on the heavy close control.
Sounds
just what we did last year.
Thank you. All right, moving to resolutions. Resolution appropriating funds, Department of Arts, Beach Elementary School, Golden Sea Sand and Stars, summer 2019, $18,144. Okay. Resolution amending the employee's pay plan to add positions of creative director, environmental specialist, forester. That's one position?
Yeah, okay. That's two positions. But it would be nice
if it was. Creative forester.
What's the difference between the environmental forester? I've looked it up. Tell me what we're doing.
Philip?
Environmental specialist. What's the difference between a specialist
and a forester?
Is this
we have Woody.
This is
Woody here.
He works here.
That's good. Yeah.
He stepped out for a second.
Woody left.
We can come back to it.
Yeah. This is not our. In our departments.
Okay, that sounds good.
We'll take your creative hit.
Truthfully, after talking, I believe it's because he understands wetlands and grasses, and the wetlands issue on top of forest.
Okay. They're handing a good bit of
we were doing these. Yeah.
So, and we just run out of tiles.
Regarding Woody's new position.
Woody's position is an environmental specialist forester. What's the difference between that and what Larry was?
Oh, he's going to be able to do a lot more. He's already gone out and performed wetland jurisdictionals for the city, evaluating city properties. In fact, we're going to do an inventory for the city that was not included in the job description for the previous employee. He's serving on the Perdido Bay Estuary Program. We're going to be bringing him into the restore projects. He has a lot of experience with regard to water quality, a lot of biological experience. He has a vast, greater amount of experience than just a forester, and that's the reason why we wanted to bring him on board.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Resolution authorizing the mayor to execute the task order with Sawgrass Consulting, Land Surveying, Engineering, Professional Services, Design Permitting, Construction, Proposed Power Line Roadway.
Now, where is this?
Power Line Roadway.
This is going to be
the one section of power line.
From Canal Road to the entrance. Well, it'll probably go to the entrance of the Wade property. And then we're going to go to Sewer Plant Road.
Yes.
Where it's not a connection, it'll be a new design. It will modify the existing road back to the soccer field and then out of the sports
place. Out of the sports place, okay.
So the not to exceed includes from the gate coming in the sports place down to the turn, Sewer Plant Road east west, and then from there back to canal. But it will probably make sure that gets us an access into the 10 acres, which we call the Wade property.
Right.
So,
okay.
Good.
Very muddy.
Yes.
So obviously a lot of that goes back to the soils. And is that fair, Ursula? Okay. He's excited that he's there.
And he's written it such that if we only want him to design Power Line Road and not address the wastewater treatment plant road and the other road, we can exclude that from the task order, which would reduce the amount of the task order. But we incorporate it all just in case we wanted to do all three roads.
That's fine.
And to quote Tim Tucker, who had to leave, the issue is until we can get into the site for where Public Works will go, including the access for the heavy trucks, we don't know what kind of soil we have. So it could require a lot of additional getting out and placement. So that's until we get in there, we won't know.
Very good.
Resolution authorizing the execution of a sponsored research agreement with the University of Alabama. Research of remaining tar balls along Alabama beaches 10 years after the Deepwater Horizon oil spill, not to exceed $50,000. This is our first real collaborative opportunity with Auburn,
yes.
University of Alabama, and City of Orange Beach. Resolution authorizing execution of professional services agreement with McCullough Architecture for architectural services.
Mm-hmm.
Resolution authorizing execution of a task order with McCullough provide permit drawings for a new sportsplex locker facility building, $31,000.
I got a question.
Yes, sir.
I know we've got a lot of architects, but are we ever going to do anything with Goodwin Mills and Kaywood? Or, we do have some locals from this area that are. Work for that company. Did you talk to David Parker?
Quite often.
Okay.
The answer is, there's about 12 companies that run our business every day. A lot of these buildings fit what's already kind of in the pipeline of what they're working on, so it's just a matter of remodifying the drawings and things. Now, in the case of a lot of the things that you're seeing are the ones that seem to be providing quality work, timely, fitting the deadlines that we're trying to shoot for. So
good.
Now, some were the proposals, and all submitted in the proposals.
Okay.
When we did the sports, the rec center.
Rec center
complex.
Thank you.
Resolution awarding the bid for two outboard motors, bring one. Resolution awarding bid for grinding vegetative debris. Resolution awarding execution of statutory warranty, license agreement, transfer agreement. Guaranteed contribution use agreement with Baldwin County Board of Education, which has to do with performing arts center and the land. So y'all good with all that?
And also in that one, it includes language that gives the ability, reversing it, where we are leasing them or licensing them to use the area north of the tennis center for the modular unit, so everything's legal and included in that. So I think there are four components being decided that would house between that document.
Okay.
And then we have a motion for executive session.
Yeah. All right.
I have one question to ask Philip. And I'll see you in the back. The dredge will be leaving. What about the south side of the island that's not looking quite right? Are we...
We're working on a solution
for that.
Which island, Robinson? We're working on a fix.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
What the fix is going to be yet?
Not quite sure yet, but it's probably going to involve a permit to do some of our own dredging, bringing that material with a different type of apparatus instead of the hydraulic dredge. But you know, we're aware of it, so we're.
So more than likely this one will not come back once it
more than likely no. They're about 60,000 yards short of their target, and that's probably just not enough to pay to demo them and bring them back in. So
for that. Okay.
Thank we wish you. They'd pump that material from the west side of mm-hmm. Alabama Point, but yeah.
Philip, is it I see where they're at today. I see where they're at today. I see where they're at yesterday, but today. At least get part of the channel all the way through the pass out.
The channel's clear.
Thank you. Okay.
Channel's clear.
Yeah.
So, but yep. The rest of that impound basin
is just can't get.
You can still see it.
Yeah.
It needs a lot of material. But I will say, we appreciate y'all working with us on this. This is a hat trick mm-hmm. to be able to take material out of the pass with the core project and place it on FEMA damaged beaches. Everybody's starting to click just right. The way it was.
He said it couldn't be done.
Yeah.
So will all the figures have to change since it's not a complete project, or will...
Will all the...
Like...
The maps.
The maps.
We approved.
We approved.
No. We got all of the 150,000 cubic yards.
We got what we... Okay.
Yes.
They got ours first, didn't they? And make sure...
Pretty much.
Chuck it for them.
Yeah. Very cooperative. Mm-hmm. Y'all sent the draft letter, too.
That was a very well-written letter, too. Thank you.
Thanks.
Y'all good with that? All right. Anybody in the audience have anything before we go into executive session? Any questions, thoughts, just my desert?
Oh, sorry. Jeb Smith, 5504 East Pure Avenue. Coming today again on behalf of the Island Church. This Friday and Saturday, we have a men's conference. So, guys, if y'all want to come out, fellowship, get a steak, you're welcome, Pastor Fred. Come on out.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all doing it.
Yeah. Can I just say publicly and thanks to everybody that was involved with the festival? I couldn't be here right at the start. I know y'all talked about it just a little bit, that I was with Crescent Arts on their follow-up and they had to do it today. But I just appreciate everybody. It was a great weekend, weather, everybody in the city that played a part, from volunteers, but especially our people, our public works and all of our staff resources, everybody, logistics, police, fire, everybody, little things done, kit in your shop, so much that made it all happen. So just thank you all and for your support of ours and what we keep doing there. So I just want to say that.
How did garage sale go? That's proud of him.
Can I tag on and say for Mardi Gras just as well? Mardi Gras is a citywide effort, and everybody from sewer to admin, citywide. It's we can't, we do it all together.
It takes a team.
Yes, absolutely. And I know Jeannie said the same for Seafood Festival. It's a citywide effort, these three events back to back. It's everybody. Okay. We all work together really well. Yeah. So, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else?
And I want to apologize for not being able to be at any of those.
Well, you know what? We almost canceled the parade because you weren't going to be there.
I've been out of town the last few weekends and I've been enjoying my family and doing some things.
The mayor was going to cancel the parade because you weren't there. And I said,
I knew. He texted me and said, man, you got to be here.
But Jeff would want us to go forward.
Just don't make that a happen. It's not for it.
All right. And if no one else has anything, I'll attend to go into executive session.
We need to make a statement.
Yeah, who makes a statement?
We're going into executive session for discuss threatened pending litigation.
All in favor?
Aye.